Purva Vibhag, Eastern Division, Chapter 2, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Today is October 18th, text 153. This is describes some Pratan Atmika Vigyapti. Yuvatinam yata yuni, yunam cha yuvatam yuvatod yata, mano bivaramate tadvan, mano bivaramatam twayi. So this one of the three types of prayers is illustrated in Padma Puran with a famous verse which Prabhupada has in Course in Nectar Devotion. And I remember when I first read this in 1974, my first reading of Nectar Devotion, and we were not yet initiated. We were reading Prabhupada's books. And this particular point really struck me in terms of attachment, how one's mind can be attached to Krishna, and how natural that flow of attraction is when the living entity rises to his purified state of consciousness, or his original consciousness, which is called Krishna consciousness, the original consciousness. So this is a translation. Just as the minds of young women are attracted to a young man, and the minds of young men are attracted to a young woman, may my mind be attracted to you. So this is, every grown-up person has experienced this phenomenon, this magnetic attraction between the genders. The mind is attracted automatically. So Rupa Goswami, he's quoting this from Padma Puran. It's a very wonderful prayer, as he's discussing here about prayer. Prayer is one of the devotional limbs, one of the 64 limbs of devotion. Is prayer, vigyapti, praying to the Lord for some mercy, submitting one's fallen condition before the Lord, petitioning the Lord for kripa, to lift one up, and also begging the Lord for mercy. Then in the higher stage, when one has been picked up, when one has been saved, and one has become purified, and entered into a state of revelation, and in his relationship with the Lord, then he will pray for very confidential and intimate services to the Lord in his particular spiritual form. And now, from the lowest end, we're simply praying, "My Lord, please pick me up and engage me in your service, and stop my rotating the cycle of birth and death. Free me from the samsara, and liberate me from my crazy mad mind, and put me in a healthy condition of proper spiritual practices." That's the beginning. Then the high end, at the level of bhava, then we're joyously swimming in the ocean of pure devotional service, and rising and falling on different waves of bhavas, and remembering the Lord for long periods of time, and thinking of the Lord in a particular mood and mellow, and then rendering service to him and praying for a variety of different services that we'll render in our sarup. So this is one type of prayer. And then he's continuing. The next level of prayers is Dainya Bodhika Vigyapti. Dainya means humility, expressions of humility. This is also one type of prayers. Matulyo Nasti Papatma Naparadi Tikashchana Parihare Pilajo Me Kim Bruve Purushottama. O Supreme Lord, there is no one as sinful as me, no one who has committed so many offenses. What can I say? I am very ashamed to ask you to remove those sins. So this second level of prayers is the admission, the realization of one's truly fallen condition, a genuine realization of how fallen one is and how far removed one is from the Lord due to his attachment to the material world and his engagement in various non-devotional activities, sinful activities. So this is a realization that one really feels he becomes a little bit purified. Because the general person thinks he's doing pretty good. If he becomes a vegetarian, he feels happy with himself. He becomes a vegan, he becomes even more proud of his veganism, that he's not causing any violence, to no cruelty to any animals, to any cows or any love animals, don't eat them. And PETA and all these different groups they have. So they become vegan and they feel, yes, I'm a good guy, I'm actually quite a good person. And I'm doing some Vipassana meditation, and I'm really quite a very nice, good soul. Because he hasn't really shaken the jar. You may have a jar full of water, and maybe some mud particles suspended in that water, and it's murky water. And then you let the jar sit for some time, and all the mud particles and dirt particles will settle to the bottom of the jar, and the jar will appear quite clear. So this position of the clarified water inside the jar is like sattva-gun, or the idea of the yogi or the vegetarian, that, oh, my mind is clear, I feel peaceful. Om shanti shanti, shanti om. And I feel okay, because all the mud has been kind of subdued. The mud in the mind, the contamination, dirt in the mind has been subdued by a sattvic lifestyle, by eating sattvic ahara, and a regulated life of yoga, sleeping early, rising early, doing Surya Namaskar and Pranayam. And then one's senses become somewhat clear and pure and become peaceful, because Pranayam acts to purify the nerve channels and pranic energy of the body. So one feels good, actually feels quite good and quite balanced. Health is a balance. When all the systems of the body, emotional, physical, psychic, are in balance, then one feels healthy. So healthy we equate with peace, and we even oftentimes people equate a relatively high state of mind with self-realization. But until we rattle the jar of consciousness, until we shake the jar of consciousness with serious spiritual practices, we really don't know the content of our subconscious. We don't really know the content or the volume of our subconscious mind. We polish the tip of the iceberg and we think it looks shiny and clear. Oh, look at this tip of the iceberg sticking above the ocean. If we dive in the ocean, we'll say, oh, this iceberg is so big. From the surface of the ocean, it goes down miles. It's huge. So that subconscious region, which is the layer of samskaras in the citta, this becomes covered by sattva-gun. It just becomes covered, and we think, oh, I'm okay. But then when you start chanting mantra penetrates. It penetrates through the covering of the citta and actually goes into the depth of the consciousness to reveal all the stored samskaras, all the lust and greed and envy and pride and all the sinful life and activities. And we say, oh, wait a minute. Because I'm only speaking like autobiography. Because I had studied Ashtanga Yoga and Raj Yoga and gone deep into these sciences from 1965 until 1974, 9 or 10 years. And I thought I really had it. I thought I was really cool. And then when we came to Krishna consciousness, or at least approached the distant shore of Krishna consciousness, then we understood that there's something missing. So this second type of prayer, Dainya Bodhika, Vigyati, This is an admission of one's fallen condition. O Supreme Lord, there is no one as sinful as me. The person actually feels this way. It's not like, okay, oh, we're very fallen, we're very sinful. Even though my mother and father, they say I'm a good person, and my teachers say I'm very good, and my husband or boyfriend or whatever says I'm quite good. But actually, I know that inside myself, I am actually no good. There's so many bad things inside of me. So many snakes and scorpions and alligators and crocodiles and all kinds of mean thing. So much ambition and so much selfishness and so much envy and so much greed. It's really within me. But I've done a good charade. I've done a good masquerade. I've been able to fool my parents for 20 years. I've been able to fool my husband for so many years. I've been able to fool my mother and father. But there's one person we can never fool, and that's God, Paramatma, Antaryami. He sees everything clearly. He can't be bought, he can't be purchased, he can't be bribed. Relatives and friends can be purchased and bribed by behavior. By congenial behavior, you can purchase your relatives. By congenial behavior, you can purchase your husband. And if it's a politician or a policeman, you can bribe him with a smile and 100 rupees. Or maybe 500 these days. Oh, I wasn't speeding, really. Ooh, you know, 500 rupees. Okay, little sister, don't do it again. You have the 500 rupees sticking out between your fingers like this. And you put your hand up like this. See, officer, really, I wasn't speeding. And he says, and he sees a 500 rupee note sticking out between your fingers. And he holds your hand and says, okay. Takes the 500 rupees. Don't do it again. So this, we can get by in India very nicely with a smile, with a bribe, with congenial behavior. And if that doesn't work, then the ultimate weapon is, of course, lying. Not telling the truth. But with God, with Krishna, param satyam chadimahi, it is impossible to bewilder or to trick God. So when one comes to a genuine understanding of who he actually is, then he feels somewhat shameful of himself. He feels somewhat repentive, and he feels somewhat humble. Wisdom creates understanding, and the most powerful form of wisdom is to understand oneself. When we really understand ourselves, then we are actually forced by genuine knowledge to become humble. Because who am I? Who is God? What am I? How big I am? How big really am I compared to this world? I am so tiny. I am so small. And this, like Prabhupada used to say that, or his Guru Maharaj used to use an analogy, that this universe, according to Veda, the Veda is telling this entire universe with its millions and millions of uncountable planets and stars, some which we see, some which we can't see, all those millions and millions of universes, I mean millions of planets within this one universe, they are compared to one sorso bij, one mustard seed in a whole bag of mustard seeds in 100 kilos. Thousands and thousands of seeds in 100 kilos of mustard seeds. So many, millions. That's how many universes there are. So in this one universe that we're living in, there are millions and millions of planets. And on that one planet, this is a very vast planet, the Earth planet is 25,000 miles in circumference, which means, what is that, 6 times 40. That's 40,000 kilometers in circumference. You know circumference? Around the perimeter, like you have a ball and you go around the outside. 40,000 kilometers. If you get in your Honda City and you want to drive around the Earth planet, if you want to do parikrama, Bhumi Parikrama, Igbar Parikrama, Bhuloka, or Bhumi Loka, you have to drive 40,000 kilometers. It's a long way. Right? So this planet is so vast. It's a very vast planet. And on that planet, there's so many continents and so many oceans. And one of those continents is called the subcontinent, the Asian, the subcontinent. And there's one country. And there's thousands and thousands, hundreds of countries. It's called India. And India is so many kilometers long, so many kilometers wide. How many villages are there in India? 1,000? No. 10,000? No. 100,000 villages, how many cities, hundreds of cities, big, small, medium. And in all those cities and villages in this one country of India, there is one little place called Delhi. And in that vast city of Delhi, which takes hours to ride from here and there in different parts of Delhi, there's one little place called Punjabi Bagh. Bagh, a bagh means garden. It's a garden, it's simply a garden. Bagh, I think it means garden, doesn't it? Bagicha, bagh. Bagicha, bagh. There's one garden called West Punjabi Bagh. And then there's so many streets in that bog, and then there's so many hundreds of houses on those streets, and one of those houses is Mr. and Mrs. whoever, Gupta or whatever, and living there. And in that house, there are two brothers and one sister. And I think, and I'm sitting in my bedroom, and I'm thinking, I'm really big. I'm really special. I'm really great. And every time I look in the mirror, the Dharpan, the mirror on the wall says, "You're great." I look in the mirror, and the mirror says, "You're very great. You're really special. You look so special. No one looks like you. No one is as special as you." And then with that encouragement of your ego from the reflection of your illusory image called yourself, we walk out of the house and say, "Okay, Delhi, here I am." And we're one of 1 billion Indian people. There's 1 billion in this one country. So that with a small bit of thought, because this was the analogy that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati used, to try to show how insignificant, how tiny we are. It says the name to describe the living entity is Jeev Atma. Atma. A living particle. Jeev Atma. A particle. A ray of light. So insignificant. So one who comes to this idea will feel naturally a little humble. That I'm really actually very tiny. And then when he looks towards God, and he looks within himself, and he says, "Oh, there's so much distance between me and you. It's impossible. It is impossible for the limited to attain or to capture the unlimited. We cannot see God. We cannot capture God. He's so vast and infinite and unlimited. And we are limited and tiny. We are finite, tiny, and limited. We cannot catch him or capture him. But if the unlimited God, Ananta Bhagavan, if the unlimited God wants to reveal himself or show himself to us or come before us, he has that prerogative. He has that power and that right. He can come before us and say, 'Here I am. See, your search has ended. I have come to take you. I have come to accept your love and give you mine. I have come to accept your service and serve you in return.' Because God is not a one-way lover. God is a two-way lover. Our Guru Maharaj used to say that if we take one step towards Krishna, then he takes 10 steps towards us. That's Krishna, or you can say Bhagavan, is a very aggressive lover. Extremely aggressive. I make one step, and then he runs. You just glance at some boy or something in the college. You just look this way. And then all of a sudden he runs across the cafeteria, whatever, the eating place. And then he sits, "Oh, can I sit here?" "Oh, well, maybe. If you want." And then he sits opposite you at the table. Only you glance, and then he runs. So this is the aggressive lover that shows slight indication. So we show a slight indication of our heart towards Krishna, how much he'll run to us. So this is Bhagavan, that the unlimited can reveal himself if we show a little interest, a little bit of interest. So this section here is about prayers, and this person is saying, this is from Padma Puran, this has been collected by our Param Guru in our Guru lineage, Parampara. This type of prayer represents a category of prayers called Dainya Bhautika Vigyapti. Vigyapti means prarthana, prayers. Prayers where one takes a very humble mood and admits his worthlessness. Because if the beginning of curing a disease is to recognize that we have a disease. If you think you're healthy, then you won't take any medicine. You won't take any measures to cure yourself. When you go to the doctor, he says, he does diagnosis. He says, "You are really sick. Do you know? Your kidneys are shot. Your liver is shot. And you're moving and living with one liver. One kidney. The other one is dysfunctional." "Oh, really? I didn't know. Actually, I felt a little funny sometimes, but I'm a little tired, but I thought I was okay. I thought I was really okay. He said, no, you're not okay. You need medicine. So then you say yes, and then you take, and then you see how you become cured. So the first step to self-realization is to realize, to understand that we're not realized. We haven't realized the self. And then we're in bad shape. We're in bad shape. So this is Dainya Bodhika. Oh my Lord, there is no one as sinful as me. No one has committed so many offenses. What can I say? I'm very ashamed. I'm even ashamed to ask you to remove these sins which are causing my suffering condition. And the third category of prayer is called lalasamayi. Lalasa. Lalasamayi means prayers that are saturated with hankering for serving the Lord, hankering to be with the Lord. When one becomes aware of the Lord and moves closer to the Lord, then he wants to serve Bhagavan in various ways. Kada gambhiraya vacha shriya yukto jagatpate chamara vyagra hastam mam evam kuraviti vakshisi. These are prayers of longing, lalasamayi. From Narada Pancharatra, O Master of the Universe, when will you, accompanied by Lakshmi, when will you say with a deep voice to me, when will you say with a deep voice to me, who am so eager to offer you a chamara, when will you speak to me, Bhagavan, and when will you say, please come here? So this is acceptance. So one is hankering. My Lord, when will you accept me? We often say, no submission, no permission. No permission, no admission. So submission is being discussed here in Dainya Bodhika. And Dainya Bodhika are prayers of submission, where we submit before the Lord. And lalasamayi means praying for admission. Please admit me. Please admit me into your sangha. Please accept me as your associate. Please accept me as your servitor. And I would like to go to Vaikuntha. I would like to be with my Lord Bhagavan. Narayana, 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 Narayana. My Lord Narayan, you're so far away, but I have a longing. I have a longing to love you. I have a longing to serve you. I have a longing to be with you. And love means service. What does it mean? Otherwise, love, to say I love you is simply empty if it's not backed by a desire and a longing to serve you. So my longing is that I want to serve you. I want to wave the chamara fan to cool your body and to refresh your body with the chamara fan. And I'm longing for that. When will that day come? When will that day come? Then one day, I hear, in my ear, I hear your voice, so deep and so resonant, and you're saying, yes, your submission has been accepted. Now your admission is guaranteed. Please come here. So that day will come for everyone. Everyone will meet the Maker, as they say in Christianity. You will meet the Maker. Maker means creator. Jagatkarta, the doer, the creator, the karta. Shristikarta. We will meet the Maker. This is the fruit of bhajan. It's described in Madhurya Kadambini, how the Lord reveals himself to the advancing devotee, how he speaks to him. This is described in maybe the seventh shower of Madhurya Kadambini by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur in the bhava, level of bhava. Sometimes the devotee to the level of bhava will hear the voice of the Lord. And it's almost like you take a conch shell, a shank, and you put it to your ear. And you put the conch shell to your ear, and you, when you cover your ear, you hear some sound. Some sound. And they say, oh, it's the ocean waves, it's wind from the Himalayas, it's a primordial om, it's whatever you want it to be. It's Krishna's, it's flute, it's the breath of Narayan. They have many things are told if you look up this, look it up in your Wikipedia. But at the level of bhava, then the Lord, one will think, oh, I'm hearing voices. Am I going crazy? Am I possessed? Has a bhut or prate entered into me? And I become ghostly haunted? He'll be walking somewhere and he'll hear some sounds. It's called anahata shabda. Anahata. Anahata shabda. He'll hear some sounds in his heart. First thing in his heart. Maybe a conch shell, maybe a bell, maybe even a flute, maybe the sound of timpani drums or kettle drums. It's called dundubi drums, which we call kettle drums. That's anahata sound. And then sometimes you'll hear a sound, he'll hear voices. He'll think, am I going crazy? Someone's saying, oh, you, this, that. So this is what is being described here in this entry from Narada Pancharatra. When will I hear the Lord? I will hear the Lord's voice. This is the level of bhava, because lala samayi, these longings for service, are generally the category or type of prayer that one offers to the Lord or one recites when he rises to the level of bhava. There's sadhana bhakti and vaidhi sadhana, then raganuga sadhana, then bhava bhakti, then prema. So this is a very high level of spiritual advancement, very high stage of purity of heart and softening of the heart. So at that level, one will hear the Lord, and the Lord will speak, and the person will feel, oh, someone, you're speaking to me? So the prayer is, my Lord, I am eager to serve you. I have utsaha, enthusiasm, eagerness to serve you. When will I hear you speak to me? Please come here. Please come here, please come here, please come here. It's like some movie or something. Some movie, the guy is going like this. Where's that voice coming from? He's looking like this. Because the Lord is hiding. Bhagavan is hiding behind every atom. Atom is very small. Anu or Neon. Bhagavan is hiding. He's luka-luki. He's hiding behind every atom. It's not very big. Not very big space. Not very big space to hide. But the big space that's keeping us from seeing the Lord behind every atom is our false ego, hankara, false sense of identity, who I am not. We live a world surrounded by conceptions of who I am not, not who I am. So this is, there's another example of this lala samayi, and this is another prayer. Kadaham yamanatire namani tavakirtayan ubashpa pundarikaksha rachayishyami tandavam. O lotus-eyed Lord Pundarikaksha, when will I dance on the bank of the Yamuna with tears in my eyes while singing your names? So this is Yamuna Tire. Kadaham, when, kada, karishya siyamam kripa kataksha bhajanam. Right? When will Radharani bestow upon me her sidelong glance? Kada karishya siyamam kripa kataksha bhajanam. Kadaham. Jamuna tire, namne tava, nam tava kirtayan. I'll engage in nam kirtan, your name. Yashomati nandana brajabaranagara gokula ranjanaka gopi parana dana madana manohara. I'll be dancing along the Yamuna banks with tears in my eyes. This is bhava. These are lala samayi. We're on the level of bhava. And sattvic vikars, changes, physical changes are coming due to this ingress of spiritual energy. This bhava has come into our hearts, and then it's moving us and disturbing our heart and forcing us to cry and petitioning the Lord and crying, running along the banks of Shamakund or Radhakund. Hey Rad, hey Rajadevike Chalalite, hey Nandasuna Kutaha. Sri Govardhana Kalpa Pada Patale Kalindi Vanya Kutaha. O lotus eyed Lord, when will I dance in the bank of the Yamuna with tears in my eyes while singing your names? So this is lala samayi. So this type of prayer, the Jiva Goswami is explaining here, it's called lala samayi prarthana. He says this level or this type of genuine admission or expression of the deep heart, the deep spiritual heart, this type of admission or expression of the love that is arising for God within one's heart. He says it does not apply to one in whom bhava bhakti or longing to serve Krishna in the way of his eternal servants has not yet risen. So this is future activities for most all of us, that we will utter such prayers, that we've studied about Vrindavan, we've heard about the pastimes of Vrindavan, we've heard intently and repeatedly about the relationships and services done by the different lovers of Krishna, whether as gopi friends or as gopa, the sakas or sakis, or his mother, or his servants, and one particular one of those servants has touched our heart, and we've become very eager to emulate and follow in the footsteps of a particular Brijbasi in that realm, in the spiritual realm. And then we start to come under their shelter, anugatya. And then we study and pray, and then as we become purified by nam bhajan and devotional service, then we will come to this level of bhava where these prayers will come automatically from our heart. Now this is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu.